It's Marketplace Tech Report from American Public Media for Wednesday, October 13th, 2010. I'm John Moe. Any of your Facebook friends can now put you in a Facebook group, and then anyone on Facebook can see that group's name and who's on it. No big deal if it's baseball fans. A bigger problem if it's NAMBLA, an organization that supports pedophilia. And that's a list that Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg found himself on last week. It was a prank done by one of his Facebook friends, but it was done to point out that you don't have to join these groups voluntarily. You can be put there without your knowledge, and then it's up to you to remove yourself. Of course, most people's friends, if they really are friends, wouldn't do a jerk move like that. Ryan Singel is a staff writer for Wired. He's been a critic of Facebook's approach to privacy in the past, but he thinks that giving Facebook users the power to make groups will ultimately work out well.
One of the biggest complaints Facebook users have had is trying to figure out how to separate out their online lives. And what this lets you do is if you want to post something to the people that you play, you know, touch football with, or to the people that you work with, or to the people that, you know, you're friends with because they're also interested in heirloom vegetables, right? All the other people that you're friends with don't have to get the notifications that your newest tomato is, you know, fantastically delicious. What it does as well is it moves even more of the conversations online into Facebook. So the kinds of conversations you're used to having on forums and message boards and email lists, Facebook's trying to move all of that stuff inside of Facebook, and that's just going to make Facebook even a bigger part of the internet.
That's Ryan Singel. So you can be a jerk, but you shouldn't. It's not so much about rules as about manners. We all live in public on Facebook, and you better get used to that. According to Judith Doneth, faculty fellow at Harvard's Berkman Center for Internet and Society, Facebook wants to make you more public than you are now.
My sense of a lot of the Facebook design is that it's about people being more involved than they want to be and sort of always pushing that boundary of saying people, if we give them their preferences, will be private and small and keep the small groups. And if we just keep pushing, they'll expand their boundaries. The urban sociologist William White, who did wonderful work, and a lot of what he looked at were how do people array themselves on different seats and park benches. Many people, the first seats that fill are the ones where you have your back to some kind of wall, where you can observe other people, but you can't actually be seen unobserved. Mm. And that tends to be people's preference. And I think what Facebook has done is, while people like to have a lot of privacy, they also really like to see the private side of other people. And so their design is always about finding that line where people won't be so uncomfortable they won't say anything at all, but they will be put into positions of being more open than they might ordinarily be so that they reveal more of themselves in ways that fascinate other people.
It's a voyeurism network.
That's one way of saying it.
More on this story, plus how someone can set up a Facebook account for you without you knowing it, at MarketplaceTech.org. Other stories we're following online. The iPhone 4 is more breakable than its predecessor, the 3GS. That's the conclusion of a new survey of iPhone owners. 68% more accidents reported with the newer model. Most of them involved broken screens. And Amazon.com will offer Kindle Singles, short electronic books equivalent to a few chapters of a regular length book. Cheaper, too. Susan Orlean is a staff writer for The New Yorker and, improbably, our smartphone app reviewer. She found a to-do list app on her iPhone that she really likes.
It's called To-Do. They're all called To-Do, right?
Sure.
But this is spelled T-E-U-X-D-E-U-X.
Oh, for all your pretentious tasks.
Right, for all your French-based tasks. What it has that's kind of interesting is it rolls over each of your tasks that you didn't do to the next day.
Oh.
And it's kind of like a naggy mother saying, it's Monday. Did you take the trash out? And then as Tuesday rolls around, there it is again saying, it's Tuesday. Did you take the trash out? So the fact that it's associated with a date makes it feel a little more urgent.
Kind of gentle and passive aggressive, really.
I mean, there's a lot of guilt involved. And that I think that works.
Susan covers more to-do list apps. One takes a Zen Buddhist approach. You can hear that at MarketplaceTech.org. This is Marketplace Tech Report. I'm John Moe.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.